following message is from Christian Life Austin. For more information about Christian Life, visit clcaustin.com. Thank you for listening.
Happy Wednesday! Is it still hot outside? Man, you ever have those days that are just crazy days? Just for whatever reason, the day is just crazy. You ever have those? Somebody said Mondays, I heard that. Am I the only one that has those days? Come on, you're gonna have to holler back a little bit tonight. All right, today was one of those days. I have to give you a heads up. We had some of you know this, but we had a water main break here at the church today. And on top of that, we had a funeral at 2 p.m. So we had a funeral without any water today, which, I mean, that's just awful. People are grieving and you're having to tell them, if you have to go to the restroom, you're gonna have to hold it. We're so sorry. And so they were so gracious. And y'all, the devil tried to stop us from having church tonight. We got full water back at 7:10 p.m. tonight. So I'm very grateful. Some of the people that got here extra early tonight, they were holding it in the lobby. And when they got word that we had water, there was a beeline for the restrooms tonight. So thank you for your patience with that. I know the cafe was down as well, but that is what happened in our world today. But a big shout out to Jason Kelch, who takes care of our facilities around here. He was able to get us back up and running. And here we are. So, hey, a quick update on Pastor Johnson. He came through surgery wonderfully on Tuesday. Yeah, I know he's watching. Pastor Johnson, we love you. We honor you. And he's doing well, is doing as well as can be expected. He's in good spirits. I talked to him this afternoon, and he is himself. He's experiencing some soreness and some minor pain right now, but he understands that's part of the process. But he said, go preach Jesus tonight, son. That's what he told me. And I said, I'm gonna give it my best. He said, well, I'll be cheering you on from my recliner. I said, well, thank you. Don't take a lap at any time. You just stay seated. Don't get too excited. But we're gonna dive into the Word of God tonight. It is a privilege anytime that I have the opportunity to open God's word with God's people. And if you've been around our midweek services for the last several weeks, you'll know that we have been in a series that we have simply called Deadly Assassins. And we're gonna continue that tonight. But before we continue, just in case you're new to our midweek, by the way, I'm so grateful that we have a church that is hungry for the presence of God, that is hungry to be in the house of God. Come on, that's a kudos to you, to saying we've worked a long day. Look at the crowd on a Wednesday night, people saying we want to get closer to the Lord and we wanna be in his house, and I honor you for making that commitment. But before, again, if you're new to this series, the first thing that we've been talking about that we have to have an understanding of, if any of this is going to make sense, comes from 1 Peter chapter 5, and it says this: be alert. Be alert. So that means while I'm preaching, don't fall asleep. Be alert and be of sober mind. Why? Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And so here's what we've been saying, and it's not to scare you or intimidate you, but you have to have this understanding that you have an enemy that is trying to destroy you, that is trying to wreak havoc in every area of your life. And some people live in this fairy tale world where everything is great and woo-loo-loo. I don't know where that came from. I'm sorry, I won't do that again. Listen, and I don't wanna over-spiritualize it, but I don't wanna under-spiritualize it either. You have an enemy, and he's trying to destroy your life. And I don't want you to deny that fact, but at the same time, I don't want you to run and hide. You can't run and hide. Oh, I got an enemy. I was just gonna go hide under a rock and never do anything and live my life. No, no, no. The God that you serve is greater than any devil that could fight against you. So you have hope. So you have to have this working knowledge that you have an enemy that's trying to destroy your life. But you also have Jesus Christ on your side, who is your strength, who is your provider, who is your deliverer, right? And so as you have that working knowledge, you can have a healthy balance of understanding it while not being scared or intimidated by it, right? Because we are overcomers. And so the way that my weird mind thinks is that there are things in this world that the enemy will use if he's prowling around like a lion trying to devour you. There's things that he will use to take you out. Things that may not be in the forefront. When we start thinking of things that the enemy will use to take you out, we automatically go to major sin. Like things that are just, wow. I mean, like, you know the big ones, right? Whatever those things are that you built up in your mind. But I gotta tell you, oftentimes, he will deploy these deadly assassins that you don't see coming, that you're not even aware that they're there, and they start eating away at you on the inside, and you're spiritually dead before you even know it. And we're calling them deadly assassins. But the point of our series is to teach us some spiritual self-defense. We understand we have an enemy, but here's what I refuse to do. I refuse to sit back and just allow the enemy to just take body blows and just hit me in the stomach and hit me in the face without learning how to defend myself. I need to learn how to fight back against these deadly assassins that are trying to take me out, because if I don't fight back, bury me and put me 6 feet under, because it's over, because he will take you out. He's got a pretty good record if you don't put up a fight. But this is a church that puts up a fight, and we say, not today, Satan. Amen. And so we've been dealing with some of these deadly assassins, and we talked about anger. Well, that was a fun one. And then we talked about envy. And last week, Pastor Sam talked about shame, and it was so good last week. What a fantastic job he did. Come on, did you enjoy the word last week? Yeah, fantastic. And tonight we're gonna deal with another fun one. I love talking about stuff that makes us squirm. God has given me a spiritual gift of enjoying squirmy subjects. I don't know why, but I'm excited about this one tonight. Tonight, we are going to learn some spiritual self-defense against pride. Oh, yeah. Oh, don't say, oh, yeah. Just wait. Just wait. Because here's the truth of the matter. Every single one of us deal with pride at some level in our life. Well, Pastor Brad, I've been going to church for 30 years. I don't have pride. I don't believe you. And I'll prove it to you. Have you ever been in a group photo? Had a group photo taken where you were in the group picture? Immediately, what do you do? Who do you look at? You look at you. And if you like the way the picture looks, it's a great picture. It doesn't matter if every other person has their eyes closed. That is the picture that's going on social media. And if you are the one that looks goofy and everybody else looks great, this is the worst picture in the world. Delete it. I'm not even gonna let it stay on your phone. Right? We all deal with pride on some level or another. And I wanna draw our attention tonight to Isaiah chapter 14. And it paints this unbelievable picture, really. One of the most powerful examples of what pride can do to our lives. And this actually takes place before Adam and Eve were even born. It's the picture of Lucifer deciding that he wants to be like God. His pride got him kicked out of heaven. So some of you that are sitting back saying, ah, pride. It was his pride that got him kicked out of heaven. Is pride a big deal? His pride is what got him kicked out of heaven. Watch this. Tell me if you can't see pride in all of this. You said in your heart, Lucifer, this is what he said. I will descend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars. Third time. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly of the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. A fourth time. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. And a fifth time. I will make myself like the Most High. Can you see it? It's all throughout the way that he's talking here. And I want you to take that and I want you to contrast his most two popular words in this passage of scripture, right, with the two words that Jesus would speak in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, not I will, but he said, thy will be done. Is it gonna be about you? Is this world going to be about you? Is your life going to revolve around you? Will you see only you? Is it what I want? Or is it what he wants? And pride is a deadly assassin that I'm telling you. It's crouching in your life and it's waiting to pounce and it's waiting to infiltrate your heart and grip you. And there's some of you in the room that it's already got a grip on your life. Come on, I know it's a Wednesday night, but I feel the Holy Spirit in the house right now. Listen, I feel the Lord saying tonight, if you will deal with your pride, it's gonna change your whole outlook on your life right now. Pride, if you will deal with it, if you will have the courage to look in the mirror and deal with it, it's gonna change something about the season of life that you're in right now. Somebody needs to receive that word tonight. So what does scripture say about pride? Proverbs 16 and 18 says this, you know this, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Okay, well, how dangerous is pride? How does the Lord feel about pride? Proverbs 16 says it this way, the Lord kind of sometimes, every once in a while, gets frustrated with. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. And then it reiterates, be sure of this. Like we're not joking when we write this. We want to make sure that you understand that they will not go unpunished. That if you have a proud heart, pride in your heart, there is punishment coming. And it's in the form of a deadly assassin that is wreaking havoc in every area of your life. 1 Peter chapter 5 says it this way, if you're still on the edge of if pride is really that big of a deal, God opposes the proud. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be on any side that God opposes. Because last time I checked, he wins. Which means if you are on the opposite side of God, you will lose. He opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. So let's talk about a few different types of pride tonight. A few different types. We're gonna really kind of lock in on three. And the first one I think would be the one that most of us would go to, right? When we think about pride in people's lives. It's the I'm better than you pride. Now, most of the time you would never say it. You would just think it. Most of the time, it would never come out of your mouth, but you would think it, or you would make snide remarks that would make it really clear about how you feel. You know anybody like that? If you don't, they're not as good as me. They're not as good as I am. I'm better than you, pride. And pride is so tricky. Because people that have pride in their heart are really, really good at seeing pride in everybody else's heart, while overlooking it in their own heart. And if you don't hear anything else that we talk about tonight, I need you to hear this, because, again, I want you to understand that if you are dealing with pride in your life, this is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of complete freedom, that you can rid yourself of pride if you will look in the mirror and be honest with where you are and what's going on in your world. And I want to help you do that tonight. I want to help you be able to self-diagnose if this is something that I'm really dealing with. Is this something that I'm, and I want to give you one of the best ways that I can show you that if you notice this in your world, chances are really, really, really good that you're dealing with pride. Do you find yourself constantly criticizing? Do you have a critical attitude? Do you have a critical heart? It's not good enough. Look at her. Again, you don't voice it, but it's right here. Look at him. Look at them. Look at that couple. Look at how they spend their money. Look at how they're raising their kids. Look at that church. I'm going to sit here for a second. Do you have a critical spirit, critical attitude? Are you constantly criticizing? If you are, you need to take a very long look in the mirror and ask the Lord, has pride taken root in my life? How about, this is a good one too. I love this one. I love people like this. I really do love people like this, but sometimes they're really hard to like. What about the spiritually, I'm better than you people? Aren't those fun to be around? I mean, can you believe what they did? Ooh, better be careful. You better be careful. It might do you some good to remember where the Lord found you. And by the way, it's the spiritually I'm better than you people that are giving people that are far from Jesus a reason to stay away from Jesus. Ooh, I told you this is a squirm in your seat. It's dangerous. And we see a wonderful illustration, a powerful illustration of this. Jesus tells a story about a Pharisee and a tax collector. Now, during this day and age, Pharisees were the super religious people of the day and age. They would dress in religious garb, and if you didn't know they were religious, just ask them. They would tell you how super spiritual they were. But then also, tax collectors were Jewish by birth. But they were basically betraying their own people because they were helping the Roman government. They had the full force of the Roman army behind them. And so if you owed $3,000 in taxes, they would tell you that you owed $4,000. And if you don't pay it, then you're gonna have to deal with these Roman soldiers who are gonna come and take everything that you have. And so then when you would pay the $4,000, they would take the $3,000 that you owed the Roman government and they would pocket the other $1,000. So they were a little sleazy. They weren't perfect by any means. They had a lot going on in their world too. They were thieves. And watch how the story unfolds. It says they go to the temple to pray, okay, in Luke chapter 18. And the Pharisee stood by himself and he prayed. Watch this prayer. God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all that I get. Let me tell you this, another way to diagnose pride in your own life is watch your prayer life. How are you praying? How are you praying? God bless me, 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 God bless me. That's some of our prayers. God, I need a new car. But the one you have is perfect. God, I need a new purse. The one you have holds those credit cards just fine. Need some new shoes. Daddy needs some new shoes. No, you got 38 pairs of Jordans in the closet that you wear for special occasions. Get them out. They work fine. How's your prayer life? Do you pray for other people or do you just pray for you? Do you pray for the lost, the people that are hurting, or do you just pray for, it's a great indicator on I will or thy will. So the Pharisee prays about himself. I'm glad I'm not like these losers. And the story continues in verse 13, but the tax collector stood at a distance. This is so powerful to me. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Do you see the juxtaposition of the humble and the proud? And Jesus would go on to say that it was the tax collector, obviously, that everyone despised, but he's the one that went away justified, not the proud Pharisee. God opposes the proud, but he loves to give grace to those that are humble. Sorry, you don't have to, amen. Listen, this is a sit and just let it marinate a little bit. I get it. I've been marinated on it all week, trust me. By the way, can I just tell you that when preachers preach, the Lord's dealing with them about the same stuff too, right? So trust me. None of this is at you, this is with you, baby, okay? I'm coming with you. Here's the second type of pride I wanna talk about tonight. Oh, this is a good one. I can handle it all by myself. How do you know if you struggle with this? Do you have a difficult time when you're in a sincere time of need, asking others for help? Or do you say, I can do it all by myself? I think there was a song written about that one day. If you find it difficult when someone offers to help you or to bless you, and it's so difficult to receive. No, 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 no. I could never. No, 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 no. Now, I'm not talking looking for a handout and taking everything from every. No, no, no. I'm talking if you're in a sincere place of need and you have a hard time because you've been putting this image up and you're now in a place of need and you can't receive help when somebody is legitimately trying to bless you. No, give it to somebody else. I can handle it myself. Luke 15, one of the most talked about stories in the Word of God, but we'll look at it from a quickly different perspective here. The prodigal son, you know the story. Son wants his inheritance. He's tired of living under his father's rules. Goes out, gets the inheritance, goes out, blows it all, just living a crazy lifestyle. And he finds himself, you got to catch this, verse 17. He thought he could handle it without his dad. I'm tired of you, dad, blah, blah, blah. Watch where he finds himself. Verse 17, when he came to his senses, and I have a feeling there's going to be some of you in this room that will come to your senses. When he came to his senses, he says, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I'm gonna set out and I'll go back to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. Do you see the contrast, the proud versus the humble? Pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace. And he lifts those up who are humble and broken before him. So what does this mean for you? It means that it's time for some of us to come to our senses. Here's what it really means. It's time for some of us to humble ourselves before the Lord. To take off every mask that you've been wearing, that you've been pretending like everything is okay, like you can handle it by yourself. And it's time to say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. Can we get real for just a second? Some of your marriages are in shambles right now. And you're too proud to get help. Humble yourself before the Lord. Your pride is not worth it. Your pride is not worth it. God put you together for a reason. Humble yourselves before the Lord. Pastor Brad, we just got married and we're already having issues. Humble yourselves before the Lord. It's okay. God can help you. He can restore. Pastor Brad, we've been married 10 years and it's just, things are, you know, it's not the way that I thought it was gonna be. Come on, God can help you fall back in love with him or with her. You made a decision one day. Come on, God can restore. God can repair. But he can't do it if you won't humble yourselves and ask for help. If you won't admit that things aren't okay, you don't have to suffer through it. It can be better. It's designed and it's meant to be better. It's time to come to your senses. Maybe it's an addiction. You've been lying to yourself. I don't have a problem with this. I could stop anytime I wanted. But why has it gone on for 3 years? And every time that you take that hit or take that drink or look at that thing or whatever it is, why do you feel instant regret? Say, I want to quit. You need help. Today is the day that you come to your senses and you throw your pride out the window and you say, Lord, I need you in a way that maybe I've never needed you before. I need help. Ask for it and receive it. But why don't we?
Because we're proud.
But do you know what they'll think? Who cares what they think? Who cares? They're not the one with the addiction. You are. Who cares what they think? You're the one living the miserable existence. It can get better. It can change. Who cares what they think? And here's the dirty little secret. There's a whole lot more people cheering you on that will have your back, that will support you and say, man, we're with you heart and soul. Let's go. I'll help you get through this. I'll help you fight this battle. You weren't intended to do it by yourself. And what's gonna happen is people are gonna come out of the woodworks and say, man, I used to struggle with that too. I gotta go on. I think one of the most powerful examples of this in the Word of God is through the form of King David, and he's one of the most heralded Old Testament characters, but he was a flawed man. Scripture says that at one time when the kings were supposed to be off at war, he didn't go to war. When he didn't go where he was supposed to go, he did something that he wasn't supposed to do. He saw something he wasn't supposed to see, which caused him to think about something that he wasn't supposed to think about, which caused him to act on something that he thought about. And he sees this woman bathing and he says, oh. And he would go commit adultery with her. And this is the third and final type of pride that I want to deal with tonight. And here's his line of thinking behind it. This doesn't apply to me. Ooh. Doesn't apply to me. I'm just a brand new follower of Jesus. It doesn't apply to me. I've been in church my whole life. Really? That doesn't apply to me. That's for those that are just starting in their faith. I can do this and still look how strong I am. Look how prideful you are too. He commits adultery because he had the pride in his heart that says, that doesn't apply to me. And then he did one of the most unbelievable crimes that you can think. After sleeping with her, he makes an order which was basically leads to the murder of her husband, his good friend Uriah. He betrays his friend, has him killed next, all because he's thinking that this doesn't apply to me. I'm bigger, I'm better, I'm beyond it, I'm more seasoned. Oh man, I just love the Word of God. And sometimes there's some parts that I just really like, and I really like this part. Watch this. Nathan the prophet, this story about to get juicy, calls King David out on this. And here's the story, and I want to read it to you verse by verse. It's seven verses. Hang tight for just a second, and I'll get you out of here. This is it. The Lord sent Nathan to David, and when he came to him, he tells him this story. This is great. He sets him up. There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb that he had bought. He raised it. He grew it up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. But now a traveler comes through town to the rich man's house. But the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep to prepare a meal for the traveler who had just come in. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. And David knows right from wrong. David burns with anger against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." And David and Nathan looked him right in the eyes. He said, "King David, you are that man." I feel the presence of the Lord in this place tonight. I want to ask you a question as we close our time out together. Would you stand with me? Somebody's got their timer on me. They know when I'm supposed to stop. That was like almost perfect timing. And I want you to hear me for a second. Please, please, please. I want you to have a moment. I'm not 3 minutes and I'm gonna let you go, but the next 3 minutes could change the trajectory of the next 5 years of your life, I promise you. I want you to think with me. Please be transparent for a moment. Don't brush this off that this is for your neighbor or for your spouse or for the person sitting across the worship center. I need you to just to lean in for a second, and I want to ask you this question. Is there any area of your life that is living in rebellion against the word of God? Are there areas in your life that you know you need to work on, that you need to change, but you're too proud to admit it because you're worried about what the person next to you will think about you? I just need you to know tonight that it's time to come to your senses once and for all. It doesn't have to be the way that it is right now. You're not happy. You're miserable. Things are falling apart, and you're trying to keep it all together. Nobody knows, but you know. Will you be too proud to deal with it? Will you cry out to your heavenly Father? Say, "Lord, I need you. Please, God, help me." And when you cry out to him, he will hear your cry. And he will come to you. And he will be with you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in the room tonight and you would say, "You know what, Pastor Brad? Talking to me." If that's you, listen, please don't worry about what the person next to you is thinking. I want you to just slip your hand up.